Well, introduction. I suppose at this point, brother, I have to thank you for asking me to testify. Word of advice, folks, never ask your minister or your pastor who's testifying. Or never leave a meeting early, because you might get nailed to do it the following night. I'm only joking, brother. No, thanks very much. It's good that I have a testimony to give about the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought into my life. Well, anyway, my name's Ian Dougherty. Most of you people probably know me, but if you don't know me and you're wondering what kind of a name is Ian, it's really William. And if you shorten it to the last three letters, you get IAM. So that's where the Ian comes from, anyway, and my name. Also, at this point, most people have told about their date of birth. Well, I'll give you a wee bit of a quiz and you can work out here. Sunday morning, I was doing the door in church. Our brother Colin was doing the collection here. And young Kenny, he was out with a young boy. And Colin, he was calling him Daniel. And I says, that's not Daniel, that's Johnny. But it was actually Samuel. So me and Colin put it down to an age thing. And Colin says to me, you know, brother, if you add our two ages up, it just comes to slightly over the 100. Well, I'm about 15 years younger than Colin, so you can work it out from that there. Always like to start my testimony with two verses of Scripture. Just for the point of time, don't bother looking them up. The first one is 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The second one is found in the book of Revelations chapter 20 and verse 15. And for whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You'll find out later on in my testimony why these two verses of Scripture are precious to me. So anyway, as I told you, my name's William Dougherty, born in the town of Corrien, a child of the 60s. One of a family of four, an older sister, a younger brother, and a younger sister. Family life was very good. Mother and father that loved us very much, brought us up well, taught us right from wrong in life. That's what childhood was like. But I believe in the providence of God. And the providence of God, in the late 60s, early 70s, my father came into contact with the late James McClure. And through this meeting with James and my father, myself and my older sister started attending Corrien Free Presbyterian Sunday School down at Hanover. My father was attending the church at that time for a short time. But you know, I believe in the seed of the gospel. It tells us, Matthew chapter 13, verse 8, that the seed fell onto good ground and it brought forth fruit. And I believe at that Sunday school, through faithful Sunday school teachers, and remember, Jane McIntyre was one of my Sunday school teachers, and I believe that through the faithful preaching of God's word and Sunday school classes, that the seed fell on the good ground, but it would take many years before it would bring forth fruit. Sunday school days was happy days. I remember a boy used to come on the bus. Trevor Wiley was his name. He was a young man then, believe it or not, he used to take me to Sunday school. He must be a brave age now. I remember all the Collins family. I remember David, Floyd, and all the girls and all. I remember them there. And I think at that time, Mr. Wiley had just maybe left, and Mr. McVeigh was minister then. But I remember them as happy times, and I remember going on the buses and all, and Sunday school and different things at that time. But also at that time, we lived in the Harpers Hill Estate. There was a Mr. and Mrs. Jameson, and they would have wee gospel meetings in their house. We used to go to them meetings too. And them people, they faithfully preached the word of God as well. So that was more sown of God's seed. You know, in these meetings, I would have heard verses like Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's for all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6 and 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I would have heard Romans 5 and 8. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I would also have heard Romans 10 and 13, that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That was good sown of the seed here in verses like that as a young child. So anyway, we lived in Harpers Hill at that time. I attended Harpers Hill School. Then later on, we moved to Ballyselly Estate, where I attended Melbourne School. There was no school in Ballyselly at that time. And my secondary school days was spent at Korean Boys Secondary, otherwise known as Intermediate. That was my school days. But you know, as you grow into a young man, we are told that in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. But you know, we all have idols in our life. We all have an idol. An idol is anything that comes between us and God. My idols would become flute bands and football. They would become big idols in my life. I would love for, this is the things that I was going to start to love for anyway. So at the age of 16, my lifelong ambition came true. I got joined a flute band in the town. And then the following year, one of what we would have called the big two bands had a place for me, and I went and joined that band in the town. And you know, nothing wrong with flute bands, probably nothing wrong with going to football, but it's what was associated with my life. My life became then basically binges of alcohol. That was the sinful life that came along with these things. But that didn't make me a sinner just because I was doing them things. Because we heard there, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity because of the fall in Eden, because of Adam and Eve disobeying God. The curse is upon all mankind. All are sinners. No matter if you lived a perfect life, we would still be sinners. So anyway, these were idols of my life. But then, at 19, I met a girl. We met in this town, not too far away from here, Leander House Catering College. We fell in love. We got married in 1984. And in 1985, we were blessed with a son. And in 1987, we were blessed with a daughter. But you know, my life, I love my family. I did. But I still have them idols in my life. The flute bands. It was just my weekend was to get away with the band in the summertime. And in the wintertime, it was football. My two favourite teams was one of them was the Belfast Blues, another one was the Glasgow Light Blues. And if I wasn't in Belfast at football, I was in Glasgow. And sadly, these things involved large binges of alcohol. That's the sin that comes with it. But you know, there was always godly influences in my life. It seemed to be, I remember going to the football at Windsor, and every other Saturday we were there. There was these men, and they were there faithfully giving out gospel tracts every Saturday at Windsor. I remember watching these men and taking the tracts and putting them in my pocket. I don't think I ever read them, but we never threw them away. And that convicted me. Open-air gospel meetings. Couldn't walk by them. They just really convicted me. The message, it penetrated my heart, so it did. You know, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I remember that. I remember open air has always really bugged me. In the workplace, I worked in Korean Council for a while, and there's two men, and or we fellowship here, and they were godly influences in my life there. I then went on to work as a maintenance painter in Farmfed Factory, and there was two ladies there that run a canteen as members of our fellowship in Korea, and they were also a godly influence in my life too. And actually one of those ladies told me that she prayed for a group of men in that factory, and I was one of the men, so God had answered her prayers. But also another wee man at work down there, a wee man from Bush Mills. Wasn't great with theology at all, but he just looked at you and went, hey boy, you need to be saved. Hey girl, you need the Lord. And I tell you, that really spoke to you. That's all he had to say. He lived a godly life in front of everybody. You know, but still, I wanted my son. I didn't really want the things of God. It didn't interest me. There was a seed sown, but there was a void in my life. And I couldn't have told you what it was, but I know now what it was. There was a deep void in my life. So then, 1997, change came about. Some members of Karen's family had got saved. People like myself, loved in the world, loved for the weekends, loved for drink, bands, different stuff like that there. And you know, it was June of 97, and we had headed out to Karen's mum and dad's. And she says, I have to go up to my sister's. And I says, I'm not going up, because he'll be there, and he'll be shoving that down my throat and preaching. Karen's sister and her husband, Nigel, had got saved. But you know, a funny thing was, Sam testified here on Sunday. And Sam was Nigel's brother-in-law. Never say nothing about anybody in McCoskey because they're all related. So they are. And Sam's salvation had an influence on this man, Nigel, and Nigel got saved anyway. There's always a link in the chain. And we ended up in this house that night, and the conversation came around. What struck me was this was a man that drunk every weekend, but he came down the stairs with a Bible in his hand. Me and him had a conversation that night, and we're on for an hour. It was all about things of God, and I was throwing it back at him. He was giving me the gospel, and I was throwing the ifs and the ands and the buts. You know the way we do. But I believe from that night that God really started working in my life. I believe that was a seed getting watered. How God started working in my life. I read you a verse of scripture there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's on a gospel text at our church at the roundabout. And I worked in a farm-fed factory for 5 years. And every day I drove home down to Ballysally Estate, I read that. I read that sign. It's as if it was jumping out at me. I wasn't reading God's word, but God was bringing his word to me. Also, the other verse there, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. As I told you, I was in a flute band, and we practiced in what was then the Riversale Club, which is now the Ulster Scots Resource Centre, on top of Union Street, Orange Hall, and Coleraine. Remember one night standing waiting for the club to open, and the gospel hall is right beside it, as you know. And I read that verse of scripture, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And for whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And a shiver went down my spine that night reading that verse of scripture. But then I shook it off and I thought nothing of it. As I say, I was under conviction. That was back in the 90s. We had Sky TV then. There was a channel called the God Channel. Most of it was charismatic nonsense. They're now on Sky. There's probably 50 God channels, but probably more worrying, there's probably 200 Islamic channels. Again, it's mostly charismatic nonsense. But there was one man on Sky TV, Pastor Barry Smith from New Zealand, and he run a program called Revelation. And I used to sit and watch Revelation. And it was all based on end-time prophecy. And this really started to worry me. It really started to get me thinking, you know. But the Bible tells us in Psalm, I think it's 111, that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And I was starting to fear God. I remember standing at gravesides, looking at open graves, and thinking, I wonder where them people's at. I wonder, are they in heaven? I wonder, are they in hell? Conversations with men at work, rough, tough men at work, about the things of God. That's not normal. That's not normal things that men at work chat about. One fellow I worked with, a real rough type character from Ballymoney, said to me, yes, he says, I believe in salvation. He says, I believe if you're not saved, you'll be in hell. I says, where did you hear that at? He says, Ballymoney Free Presbyterian Sunday School. He says, many, many years ago. Remember that man saying that? Remember that struck with me? Remember travelling to a band parade one night in Newton Stewart in a car? 4 or 5 men in a car talking about the things of God. Going to a band parade, talking about salvation. Do you think this is real? What's in this? That's not normal practice either, so it's not. That's the Spirit of God starting to work. So all these influences and things was happening in my head, so I believe for a year I was under conviction. But brings us up to Easter 1998. It was Easter Sunday. Remember the date well, it was the 12th of April. Normal day to me. Hadn't really much thoughts. Conviction was coming and going. God was working then leaving me. Maybe weeks of nothing, then weeks of conviction. What was on that day? There was a film on about the Lord getting nailed to the cross. I remember watching the film and thinking, that was powerful what that man went through there. You know, I remember watching that on TV. I never thought much more of it. So, come to about midnight, Easter Sunday night. I said to Karen, about 12:15, I'm heading on up to bed here. I headed up the stairs in my bedroom on my own, and Spirit of God moved in my life. For the first time in my life, I realized I was a sinner. Because of ourself, we can't do nothing. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit coming and stirring a man's life up, showing him he's a sinner, and showing him he needs to be saved. And I can only say I come under terrible conviction of sin that night in my room. And that verse, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, came back to me. And I realized I was in the way to the lake of fire. And there in that bed, or there in that bedroom, at the end of my bed, I dropped to my knees. I believe it was the effectual call of God. It was God regenerating me, His Spirit coming in, doing the work. I was basically a spectator, and I cried to God in that room for salvation. And I knew that night something had happened. I knew a change had taken place in my life. And we didn't have a Bible in our house, but there was another wee man. He's in the glory now, Harry Yates. He gave me a Gideon's New Testament, 1996. And I said that night, God, if something's happened here tonight, show me in this word. And I opened up Luke chapter 9 and read right through until the last chapter, verse 62. And no man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And I realized, I went, thank you, Lord. That was a message. And if you think about it, a plough doesn't go backwards. A plough goes forward. And that was God telling me that I was ploughing a furrow for Him. And I was going forward. But you know, God came in that night and saved me, turned my life around, but I had a problem. It was Easter and I was off for a week and I had to go back to work. And I had to tell the lads at work that I was saved. And that was a hard thing to do because you're in a workplace and I had a very, very, very foul mouth to my shame. And that's the first thing God took away from me was a foul mouth. And I had to go and tell them men. And I didn't tell them the first day, but I told them the second day. And somebody told somebody else, and somebody told somebody else, and it was all around the factory like wildfire, so it was. Anyway, but the funny thing was, 2 weeks before my salvation, 2 or 3 weeks I had a drawn to attend our church in Corian. And after my salvation, I started attending the church. I started going to the Lord's table then. And then I seen believers' baptism in the August, and I asked Mr. White about it. Mr. White says, yes, we'll have a baptismal ceremony, and got baptized in the last Wednesday night in August in 1998. But then that wee man, Trevor Wiley, I was telling you about, used to take me in the Sunday school bus. He says, brother, do you ever think about children's work? You pray about it. And I did. And I started helping Trevor with a wee children's meeting in McCoskin. And we had some great times out there with the boys and girls. And then eventually started helping Trevor with the Wednesday night meeting in our church. And I found that the work with the boys and girls is very good. So it's a very, very worthwhile work. So as God says, my word will not return unto me void. It's always a good work with the boys and girls. But then, as you probably know, Trevor was getting a wee bit on in it. And Mr. Higginson and Trevor approached me, I think 3 or 4 years ago, and says, brother, would you pray about taking over the Wonder Children's work in the church? And I prayed about it. And God led me and guided me and directed me towards that. And it's a privilege. It's a privilege to work with the boys and girls, so as in the church. And I took that wee work over. But also, I'm only the front man. It's a really good team of helpers in our church. I'm only the boy that sets the program up and sort of tries to sing choruses at the front. But it's a really good team of helpers that help with the work there in the church. And, you know, God really turned my life around. I was a very sinful man. You know, the old things had to go. The flute bands had to go. The football supporters clubs had to go because of all that what came with it. So it did. As been said before here, you know, as a new creation in Christ Jesus, old things had to be passed away, and behold, all things had to become new. I found new friends in the church and a new way of going on. But you know, folks, as you have listened to my testimony here tonight, what about you? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you trusting Him? We were singing there about the blood. Are you washed the blood? We need to be. Because you know, folks, when you think on it, I watched those programs in Revelation back in the late 90s about the state of the world then and end times. And things aren't good in the world. Look at the Middle East at the minute. Look at Russia. I'm not even going to go into your own country because I would say things I would regret saying. But things aren't good. And there's laws now being passed that would have been unthinkable 10 years and 20 years ago, and they've been passed in our land. But you know, folks, the only place to be is in Christ. He's the only safe haven. And my cry would be tonight, if you don't know Him, seek Him and cry upon Him and claim Him as your Saviour. Amen.